Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank all those brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service to the Lord on this afternoon. I want to welcome those that are on the call that may not be members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. We want you to know that you are our VIPs, our honored guests, and our desire and our hope is that you'll become a Christian as we are, and obey the Lord. And I will share with you at the conclusion of this message how one becomes a Christian and be added to the church that you can read about in the Bible according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. We want to continue, hopefully, those that are listening, if you were with us on the this morning, we are using the title, subject title that was read in your hearing from Acts chapter 2. And verse 11 and 12, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we also shared this morning from from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, what we are engaged in now is a study of the Word of God that we can apply those things that we learn from the Word of God, how that we may be approved of God by doing those things that we find in the Bible. And so we took this subject title by looking at, there was research conducted, I said this morning, of religious Americans, and they were asked their views on major problems facing this nation. On this morning, we dealt with health care and how health care consists of medical services that are provided most often through medical insurance, but also we looked at the caring for oneself by looking at and identifying those areas of need that we found in America, health concerns that were causing many to die, as we showed in the message on this morning. And so this afternoon, we want to continue with that major list of problems facing this country. So this afternoon, for the next few moments, we want to look at, they listed violent crime as one of the major concerns. So we want to do as the pattern was this morning. We want to look at a diagnosis or look at the problem that this nation, a country is in. And then we want to give a prognosis or an answer from the Word of God that can help us with a solution to this problem that we have as a Christian, understanding what my position is as it relates to violent crime, and then how I am to live in a nation where violent crime is present. And for a definition's sake, a violent crime or crime of violence is a crime or wrong done in which an offender uses or threatens to use harmful force on a victim. This could be crime such as murder, assault, and rape, as well as crimes in which violence is used as a method of coercion, such as robbery. So we did look at some statistics that were offered by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, 2020 data of violent crimes in the United States. And the top four that they listed in America in 2020, there were 921,000 aggravated assaults in this country. 921,000. When it came to robbery, there were 243,000, over 243,000 robberies committed in this country. When it came to rape, over 126,000 6,000 that were committed in this country. And when it came to homicide or murder, there were over 21,000 homicides or murders committed in this country. So for those to have violent crime as a major concern, it is a major concern when you look at over a million people have had violent crimes committed on them, toward them, or against them. And I want us to know that when we look at violent crime, we have it began in the Bible, in Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4, we find the first situation of violent crime that was committed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. The Bible says in verse 3, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wrath? And why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And so the Bible says in verse number 8, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." And the word slew means to murder him. So that's the first account that the Bible gives of a violent crime being committed. Even in the Bible, it started. Where Cain, men, when they become angry and upset, you know, we have drive-by shootings and people get upset. And we want to look at how this works in the Word of God. How is the Christian, unlike Cain, going off getting angry with his brother because he didn't do well and killing his brother? Let us look at the Word of God to see for the Christian how the Word of God allows the Christian to conduct himself, because Paul said to Titus, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So how does the Christian live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Well, in Titus chapter 2, the scripture read in your hearing, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So when we look at the Word of God, the Word of God, we have to take our lifestyle and our attitudes and conduct and filter them through the Word of God. And then when you come on the other side, having been obedient to God, you'll have the mindset, as we talked this morning, but you'll have it this afternoon, and how to deal with violent crime. So again, we defined this morning soberly. It is the use of self-restraint or self-control over all feelings and desires that will enable the Christian to conform or obey the will of God. If Cain had been soberly and exhibited self-restraint or self-control, he would not have gotten himself into the trouble that he got himself into, because God laid punishment on him. Back in Genesis, God laid punishment on him and told him he would be a fugitive and a vagabond while he walked on this earth. Why? Because he was not sober-minded. So as a Christian, we need to be sober. Also, we need to understand that not only am I to be soberly, but I'm also to be righteously, and righteously simply is to conform to that which is right. To conform to that which is right. It is wrong, and we'll show you from the Word of God, to do any of these things that we have talked about. That's not right in the eyesight of God. And then to be godly is to show honor and respect to God. How do we show honor and respect to God? By honoring and respecting His Word and His command. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. So, in Romans chapter 13, let us look there, so we can find what God says regarding soberness, regarding righteousness and godliness from the Word of God. In Romans chapter number 13, and beginning at verse number 8, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, no. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So again, love is the mindset that one should have as it relates to a Christian. But then he gets more specific. He said, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt, notice, love thy neighbor as thyself. So when I look at those four areas that we talked about, when we talk about robbery, which is to steal, the Bible tells us thou shalt not steal. When it comes to rape, which could be a form of adultery, or it could be covetousness, where I'm desiring something that I ought not to have, the Bible says thou shalt not covet. Then the Bible also informs us that thou shalt not kill. That's homicide or murder. And then aggravated assault, when we hurt someone, cause bodily injury to someone, or use a deadly weapon, that's aggravated assault. So the Bible itself teaches us that we should not do those things. So as a Christian, I should not be engaging in anything near aggravated assaulting anyone, stealing from anyone, raping anyone, or even committing homicide, that killing someone, that not ought not be even in the mind of a Christian that I would do those things. Because Paul, even when he talked about stealing, he shared with us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28. Ephesians 4:28, he said, that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. So again, there are certain things, as Paul even said in his letter, in Ephesians 5:3, he said, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. As a Christian, it should not even be mentioned about me. He talked about covetousness, those things, robbery, rape, homicide, aggravated assault. They should not even be named among us as one that's becoming saints. And if we have done those things, we need to repent of those things and live as God would have us to live. But in order to live as God would have me to live, that I'm able to live in a world where violent crime is at sometimes even our front door. We can't go to the store, to the mall, without coming back and hearing on news where this has happened, this crime has happened, this person has been robbed, this person has been shot. But how is the Christian to live in this present world? Well, when I think about that, I'll give one verse of scripture on this afternoon. Turn the Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, and the verse is number 16. Jesus said this to his disciples in the world in which they were living. Note what Jesus says in verse number 16 of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Christians ought to be the innocent sheep in the midst of wolves. We know we live in a violent world. We know that. But Jesus gave them some characteristics that they would be able to find themselves, that in this violent world, in this world full of wolves, characteristics prey on those that they see as weaker than them, those that are vulnerable, those that may be injured or handicapped. Wolves, we watch any of the programs, you see how wolves prey on those less fortunate than them. But the Lord said to them, "I will send you forth." I'm sending you into this world of wolves. I'm sending you in the middle of them. But I'm sending you as sheep because of your innocence. Then he said to them, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Those two characteristics that Jesus gave those, because he told them in verse 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony among them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up," Jesus shared with them the mindset, and that's what I want to share with us as a Christian, the mindset that we ought to have in this world in which we live, in this world of violent crime that was identified from the researcher survey that was given, that violent crime was high on the list of things behind health concerns. So what Jesus shared with them, when you think about a serpent, there are two characteristics of the serpent. The serpent, not on the side where They were deceiving, as the serpent did with Eve, but the side that Jesus talks about, because he said to be wise as serpents. So the Lord was saying to those of us that are Christians today, how do we live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world? We ought to be shrewd. What does that mean? That means showing an ability to understand things and to make good, careful judgments. What do we mean? Understand things. I understand when I am out among in the public that I understand things. I know when I'm out trying to, if I'm shopping, if I'm going places, I want to try to do it in the daytime when it is light, as opposed to in the nighttime. I want to understand things and know that oftentimes when things, we know that crimes happen in the daytime also, but again, what we want to do as a Christian, being wise, I want to lessen the risk of something happening to me. Also, I want to make good, careful judgment as a Christian, making sure my judgment, you know, we drive in the car, somebody jump in front of you, blow the horn at you, my judgment should be not to respond back. Don't try to incite the person where that person may have any thoughts of responding back to you. Remember now, because part of that definition, the Lord says to be harmless as doves. And the characteristic of a dove is that of innocence and purity. So you don't see a dove getting aggressive or retaliatory at someone for what they have done. Why? Because Jesus said, among wolves, you need to be innocent, free from the guilt that come from having evil thoughts. We don't possess those thoughts. If we have them, we remove them out of our heart. We want to be doves in this present world. We want to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That's what Jesus said to those, his apostles, that he said to them, you are sheep among wolves. We are Christians. We are not retaliatory. We are not vengeful. We are sheep among wolves. We are wise as serpents. However, we are harmless as doves. That's how the Christian, or one way the Christian, can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world when it comes to violent crime. And if you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, one becomes a Christian by hearing the gospel. We shared this morning from Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must hear certain words of God that leads one to become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you want to become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, that which I must hear is specific in nature. One must hear according to Romans 1:15-16. One must hear the gospel of Christ. One must hear how Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. One must hear and believe that according to Romans 1:16. We also share that one must repent of their sin. The Bible says in Romans 2:4 that the goodness of God leads one to repentance. Why does one need to repent? Because the Bible teaches in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we understand after being taught in the Word of God, Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for our sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. So not only must I hear that gospel message, I must repent, but also I must confess according to Romans chapter 10, and the verse is number 10, where the Bible says that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I must hear the gospel. I must believe the gospel. I must repent of my sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and then Romans chapter 6 tells us how we are added to the church and become a Christian. Paul said to them, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Romans 6 and 1, that grace may abound. God forbid. How shall we that are, notice now, you have to die to sin, live any longer therein. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So those, Paul was reminding them of what they had previously done. They were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And verse 4 tells us they were buried with him in baptism into his death. And then the Bible says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So what happens then? The Lord adds you to the church. You make that confession according to Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that confession is made, you're water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins, and the Lord adds you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. Romans 16:16. The Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Why the church belongs to Christ? Because he purchased it with his own blood. It's a descriptive phrase of ownership. It belongs to Christ. So if you're on the call, someone invites you on the call, get with them, have them reach out to us, and we'll make it happen that you can be baptized and added to the Lord's church. Thank you on this afternoon for your listening ear as we talk about how we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Thank you very much.